And that's a citizen. The Citizen Science Network used to document how environmental change is affecting local community members. And it's a website, leonetwork.org. So you guys should definitely check that out. So today I'm just here to get a better sense. I got accepted into a master's program at the University of Washington. I'll be getting a master's in public health in the Department of Environment and Occupational Health Sciences. And so I definitely want to incorporate nutrition into my public health degree. And so any type of contacts that are made through the coalition would be awesome. And I just want to keep in contact with Nora and the WEAVE group to see the type of programs and projects that are going on. So thank you.
Congratulations, Sunny. That's really awesome. I'm very excited for you. Please, yes, keep in touch. Let us know how we can support you in all of that work. That's very exciting. All right. So Sunny, you were the 509 number. So I see the 425-681-5955 number.
That's Lana Kerr is my name. I'm a Jamestown Squaw tribal member. And I do not work in the workforce. I am an elder, and I have done presentations at Peninsula College and also to our tribal citizens regarding traditional medicinal plants. And I have a strong interest. I make teas and salves and use the food. Our native foods in our diets, but I just really was fascinated at a conference we went to that where we talked about the tribal food sovereignty. And so I'm just more a listener and learner at this point.
Thank you, Lana. I really appreciate that. I think we're going to have a lot to learn from you as well.
Thank you.
Perfect. I saw your chat, Sunny. Thank you. Also, okay, I see a 360529 number.
My name is Erica Warren. I'm a member of the Quinault Indian Nation. And I just finished up a temporary position with the Nisqually Community Garden that I've been at for a year. I'm now doing some contract work with the Nisqually Tribe and their Healthy Family Programs and the Early Head Start, doing kind of garden-based, family-oriented activities through the garden. I'm also a student at the Evergreen State College studying intertribal development as far as, you know, how we can work together and collaborate between nations to kind of reach larger grants for different things. Also in working together with tribes to kind of figure out, you know, how we can work together and how we can create this kind of coalition in creating programs for tribes that don't have those set up. I work specifically with youth programs, and that's kind of what I've been doing for the last year and a half, doing things with the Head Start at the Nisqually Tribe and then trying to do some summer stuff at the Youth Center. And also, you know, today as far as, you know, what I'm looking to get out of this this meeting is that I have kind of a lot of ideas as far as, you know, developing different programs that could be used for any nation and in how we can collaborate and kind of, you know, bring folks together to do that. And the other thing that I, you know, was hoping to, you know, see if other folks would be interested in is an intertribal celebration of Indigenous Peoples Day this October. And, you know, celebrating around food and how we can create decolonization kind of workshops, you know, for our own people, you know, to talk about, you know, the things that need to be brought up, I guess. So And sorry, I got, you know, 5 kids running around me and I'm trying to focus on this right now. So I apologize if I'm a little bit scatterbrained, but I'm glad to be here.
Thank you so much, Erica. I like all of that. That's very exciting. And that's really what we want out of this is that collaboration, that brainstorming, that innovation, and all of that. I see we have someone else that also joined us, a 360276 number. Right now we're just doing introductions, so if you don't mind just saying your name, what tribe you're representing, maybe what you do and what you hope to gain out of this call.
Yeah, hi. This is Roberta Harrison with the Quinault Indian Nation. I'm the diabetes manager, wellness program manager for the tribe here, and we also have a Northwest Weave grant that we are participating in.
Yes. Hi, Roberta. How are you?
Hi, pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. This is Nora. We also have Janine here and Nanette as well.
Oh, great. Well, good. Look forward to seeing you guys in October also.
Yes, yes. We can talk about that too. look, you got your...
I'm up.
Yeah, there you are. Excuse me. All right, so just a little bit of background on, for those of you who may not be familiar with the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board, here we serve the 43 federally recognized tribes of the Northwest, so Oregon, Idaho, and Washington. And we support them in improving health and wellness for their communities in various different ways through different projects that we have, different grant cycles, and things of that nature. Myself, Janine, and Nanette work on what's called Weave Northwest, but nationally it's known as Good Health and Wellness in Indian Country. We provide technical assistance for our tribes in various ways. We do things like data analysis, survey design, strategic planning, enhancing collaborations, evaluation and assessments, policy development, tobacco prevention, etc. We do have some funding that goes out to our tribal communities to work on projects that will improve the community's health, and there's various focus areas that they decide to tackle. Some of them do assessments. A lot of them work on health system approaches. Food system approaches are another popular one. Youth-focused or built environment. And so what we kind of notice as we're working with these tribes and as we're meeting with community members is that there are a lot of requests for having a place to have enhanced collaboration amongst the Northwest tribes in the area of tribal food sovereignty. Specifically with policy, with gardening, things like curriculum development. And I'm just trying to make sure. Okay. And one of the things that really stuck with me when I went to one of the food sovereignty conferences out in Minnesota was a quote from Janie Pipp, who is the director of the Food and Agriculture Initiative, and she said that if you want to destroy a people, you take away the power of their food. If you want to build a people back up, you build them up through their food. And I know we have amazing leaders in policy, food sovereignty, traditional foods, gardening, curriculum development, etc. And I think it's time that we continue and strengthen the work that's already being done. You guys are the leaders. You guys are already doing amazing work out there, and I think it's time we come all together and see how we can help each other and see how us here at the Health Board can support that. And so that's what I wanted to do, is provide this space, provide this platform for us to come together and start really forming an agenda. What is it that we want to tackle first? Is it like the online food hub that Carrie was talking about? Is it a larger conference or the intertribal conference that we talk about these various topics that's impacting our food systems? And it's all up to you. And I'm going to open the floor up and where you guys want to be. Like, what is it that you want to focus on? What are you passionate about? And then we're going to talk later about what's the best way that we can do this logistically. So, like, what's the best way we can share documents? Best ways to get your contact information, things like that, because I think I'll likely send out a survey asking some of these in-depth questions so we can get it a little more dialed in. Just a reminder, though, that if you're not speaking, that you have your phone or computer on mute so that it just reduces the background noise. But I'm going to open up the floor. So does anybody have any burning thoughts or ideas or insight that they want to share that's worked really well for them, or other coalitions that they've been on? Really anything that you would like to share at this moment? Oh, and one thing before we get started. Also, if you are on the computer, you can share your video. I think you have to manually tell it to do so down at the bottom near the microphone, so you know. So it's not just
this. You can see your face.
This is Anna Kerr, and my partner normally comes with me is Elaine Grinnell, and one of the things that she's doing is she's providing classes in this area, teaching people how to make the traditional foods and how to cook the foods that our ancestors used to cook. And one of her major issues today when I talked to her, because she unfortunately couldn't come to this particular meeting, but she will be here in the future, is the preservation of the foods that our Native American ancestors had in abundance. And her main issue today is centered around the salmon. And so I think that's something that we might take a look at is since we're talking about food and food on the table and the diets and nutrition around it, that we kind of look at the salmon population such as it is and how what we could do to help preserve the value and the quantity of it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Thank you. One of the thoughts I did have back when I was discussing this with various people, a lot of our sub-awardees like Perry, Kathy from Siletz, Valerie from Muckleshoot, is perhaps, you know, as we develop and kind of have a process for our coalition and where we're going, is perhaps invite other organizations such as CRITFIC, the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission, you know, not just our tribal communities, but other tribal organizations that work specifically like dealing with salmon issues and policies around fishing and preservation and things like that. But that's up to the coalition. That's not going to be up to me. I'll let you guys decide where we go from here. But thank you. I agree with you. Any other thoughts or ideas of efforts or resources or projects that you're currently working on that you would like to bring other people in on or find?
I got to say, I really like the idea of what Erica was talking about in maybe putting together some sort of celebration with traditional foods, like an intertribal celebration for traditional indigenous foods. I think just highlighting our traditional foods and, you know, maybe that's something that Weave could help with, I don't know, or the coalition. I'm curious how you envision the coalition. Like, you want to see this as something that's going to be a working group that's going to continue and maybe have some formal structure, like a committee or with a board of directors or or just people that are from different tribes working in food sovereignty or food security. I'm just curious what you had in mind when you first thought of the coalition as a group.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that's something that I've also been trying to envision myself originally, or at least to start. I would really like quarterly calls with one another. And with the idea that we'll start having quarterly meetings in person. And so I think there would have to be some form, like some structure to it. I don't know if we'd go as far as board of directors, but definitely maybe smaller working committees that are tackling different things. Like if there's a lot of people with an interest in developing a curriculum or already have a curriculum developed and want to expand upon that, maybe there's a work group working on that, or maybe it's people that are working on policy specific to food access or food protocol or something. Maybe there's a committee on that. Whatever it is that we decided we want to do with it, I'm open to suggestions. This is all new to me. I've never formed a coalition. So if there's any advice that you can give, that would be very helpful. I also don't want to, add a lot to your guys' plate because you already do so much. So if it can build upon what you're already working on, but be a support to you rather than like an extra thing you have to do, that's what I want. So if meeting in person is like, okay, that's going to add too much to my plate, I don't want to do that. So we can do quarterly calls. So just be honest, and maybe that's where a survey comes in, that we develop some questions around what's the best way we want to meet, how often, and start developing. We're in the planning process, right? So developing what this is really, really going to look like, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And let me know your thoughts. Like, yes, Nora, that's a great idea, or no, don't do that.
This is Erica from Quinault. One thing, you know, when I'm working within, you know, Native communities, what I'm noticing is not so much resistance against traditional foods. It's just folks being uneducated about traditional foods. And sometimes I feel like I'm pushing my own agenda, you know, or like I'm kind of a one-man show, you know, trying to like, you know, in this revival, when you're in a community that, you know, doesn't necessarily, you know, a community that would be open to change, but doesn't know, doesn't have kind of background in that way, I guess. And so what I'm seeing, or what I'm, you know, trying to like brainstorm on my own is, you know, like, how do we bring folks together and teach them, you know, like how we were colonized, you know, like why our food system is the way that it is now versus what it was before. Cause you know, you can tell kids, and I work specifically with youth, but you can tell kids, you know, eat this, eat this, eat this, you know, and they're like, ah, I don't want that. I've never had that before. But if you, you know, teach them what things were like prior to colonization and what that word actually means, you know, and I just feel like for a whole community, you know, I think that that's really important, is kind of taking a look at our history and to see why our people are sick, you know, like, and why we're facing disease and addiction and obesity, and you know, we have, I mean, all of these things that plague all of our nations. And so how do we address that, you know, from a standpoint where we can bring more people on board? And I just feel like my idea with this kind of intertribal celebration around Indigenous Peoples Day, to celebrate Indigenous people and to bring all of our nations together so we can all, you know, potlatch and contribute and educate each other. Doing something like that. Also, you know, being able to create that conversation and talk about like why we're sick, and holding these kind of decolonization workshops is the only word I can use to describe what I mean, I guess. But, you know, like really teaching people about where we came from, because we all have a general idea and we all have our own cultural traditions or our own traditions that play into, you know, what makes us each our own, you know, and I think that food is a huge part of that that was left out. Or you know, and in this revival and bringing it back, but I feel like it, you know, I'd like to see it more on the forefront of things as kind of just an everyday thing. And I think that if we bring our nations together and we bring our minds together, then, you know, Native people can really set a standard, you know, if we get back to where we came from.
I really like that a lot. I think it's a very good idea. And so... timeline. I'm just trying to think how many people, and I know we only have a handful of people on the call right now, but how many would be interested in helping to plan something like that? Where would we envision hosting something like that, and about, you know, what time of year? Just to kind of get the idea out there and see where it goes from there. I don't know.
Well, so she was saying, what I heard her saying was around Indigenous Peoples Day. And so is that the third Friday in September? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I thought that's what I heard too. So September of next year, probably.
Yeah, I would be very interested in working on something like this. And moreover, I think that it would be, this could be something that could be, or maybe even, I hate to use this word, should be like a moving, like every tribe have one or host one each year. So each year it's a different tribe, right. Or even maybe even twice a year, like maybe one in the early to late spring. I don't know when first foods are coming up, and then one in like August, September, when there's a different type of foods are coming ready, and that if we had it moving annually or every, like do one in the spring at Quinault, do one in the fall at, I don't know, you said you're from Swinomish, yeah, so, or and then just kind of move it around so people can, you know, because this education, I really agree that we need to work on educating our membership about the colonization of our food and how important that is, because what I see here is there's a lack of ceremony. And I firmly believe that all of our celebrations, all of our ceremonies, once they originated and centered around food gathering, because we would sing these songs to the food people and pray our thanks and pray that they come back every year, pray for that abundance, and that goes hand in hand with being good stewards and caretakers of the land and the seed, and I just don't see down here anywhere where I am that, you know, we're doing that anymore. So it goes hand in hand. We're losing the food. The wokus is almost all gone. The camas is almost all gone. There hasn't been salmon here in 100 years. And they're not doing their ceremony. There's a connection. And I just think that needs to be brought back. And I think that we need to educate people on how these things work together and how we need to bring these things back. And that's why I think it needs to keep moving around and educating every place we go about the importance of it. Does that make sense?
Yes, that definitely makes sense.
Well, and my idea around celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day, so being a student at the Evergreen State College, Yvonne Peterson is my faculty, and I spoke with her about hosting, you know, this celebration this year, actually, at the Longhouse at Evergreen, just as kind of a startup, and to, you know, have some folks from Squaxin, because, you know, Evergreen's on, you know, Squaxin's traditional territory. And so, you know, like, and that was kind of the idea, is to have each tribe and each tribe host, you know, a different year, kind of as Canoe Journey does. And so I think that, you know, in planning that kind of event, you know, I've got some other ideas as far as, you know, with this kind of coalition, I'd like to see, you know, it could be like a train the trainers kind of thing where, you know, the folks that we have on this coalition talk about ideas that we could all implement on the reservation we work or the reservation we live. And so one thing, another thing I've been, you know, kind of toying with the idea is, you know, Grub is an organization out of Olympia. It's Garden Raised Bounty. They're a nonprofit. They do amazing work with youth, with communities, with families. But they build garden boxes for low-income folks in Thurston County. And I was thinking, you know, if we had, like in Nisqually, there's an AmeriCorps program. You know, if we had the AmeriCorps program combined with, you know, the folks in housing, you know, and we create teams on each reservation that can build garden boxes to plant traditional foods or just vegetables in general. You know, we could also do like cooking classes. And I'm talking like this could be, you know, a program that we've set up as far as this coalition. And invite any tribe that wants to participate to send their own people to be able to learn what it is that we're, what we're coming up with, you know, and Elise Crone, you know, she also is a Grub employee, and that's where they developed the 10 Gather Grow curriculum, which I think should be in all of our tribal schools, you know, like there's, I think there's a huge opportunity once we, you know, get this hub of people together and start churning out ideas. And, you know, if we have this Indigenous Peoples Day with, you know, and set up a day to decolonize, you know, like it could be like a dinner in the evening. And then the next day could be like workshops for Native people to, and also taught by Native people, you know, and bringing in elders and that kind of thing. But I think there's really a huge vision for this coalition. And I mean, that's, you know, I dream about this kind of stuff, being able to, like, you know, train people, train our own people, and then go back to our reservations and implement these programs on every reservation. So, you know, so there's not any difference anywhere that we're all striving, we're all doing well, and our kids are all getting the same, you know, education that they need around food and around, you know, where we came from.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. We're over here saying yes. We love all of that. Exactly what I think we could do. Because I think that train the trainer piece is so important. And just what I saw from Elise and Valerie's Cedar Box training around their toolkit, that's what I would like to see, you know, shared. And like even they said, you know, this is not just for the Muckleshoot community. This is for all tribal communities that want to use it. And so we are committed to through like helping them print up their recipe books, to helping them disseminate their resources, and we're committed to doing that for other communities as well. And so I see that Roberta was saying that they've hosted a spring foraging and harvesting wild edibles class in April, and partnered with Elise and Elizabeth to help with the class as well. Bummed Elise isn't on the call today, but she's out doing amazing, wonderful teaching things today because she's a busy woman, and that's fine. But yes, so I'm really excited about that. I would love if the Indigenous Peoples Day celebration could have a train the trainer piece, because how awesome would that be to have something tangible for them to take home and do themselves.
Yeah. And I guess the one part that I wanted to add, and I love how eclectic this is, and I'm hearing.
So you're Nanette.
Oh, I'm Nanette. Yeah, forget. I feel like I'm talking to all of you. So I'm Nanette, and I actually have a background working specifically with tribes on health and all policies. And as I'm hearing all this information that's coming out of different things to do and how to really like embed and. You know, take back all these wonderful opportunities like the canoe journey and other gathering times that like Indigenous Peoples Day, but also just other community events, and have it be centered back around food. We could take that same kind of strategy with food sovereignty, with different events that go on in the community. And that, I mean, this is just one example of a strategy that sometimes can work. So you just see all those all those different ways that people come together within your community, and you start having a list of those opportunities and finding ways to bring back and have it be around food. And this coalition could help some of that brainstorming, or possibly help some of that support and networking there, so that there can constantly be different things going on based on what's happening in your community. But that is, it just in my mind triggered, there's a way that can be done with lots of different communities. I worked on health and all policies all across California with cities, counties, and tribes. And so as you can imagine, there's lots of different folks that have lots of different areas that wanted to have it addressed. And so being able to do that communication piece, that's what we can help coordinate here for all of you, because it sounds like then we can do a little bit of everything. Yeah.
I really like, this is Lana, and I really like everything that we've talked about today, because what we've not only focused on the food, but Nanette just spoke about the community, and that's what our ancestors did. The community was created basically through the presentation of the food and the celebration of the food. And I, what I hear and what I would like to see is that it doesn't become such an event, as it's just a natural thing that we bring that back and we practice it, take it home to our communities and practice it practically every day.
Yes, I agree.
This is Sunny. One thing, like, we've piloted probably 5 or 6 of the activities from the curriculum this year, and every single time, you know, I'm not Flemish, and this curriculum is based on, you know, Flemish teachings and their traditional calendar and their traditional foods. And for me, it was a hard transition to kind of break into a community to be a teacher around these foods and the environment. But what I really realized was that I wasn't necessarily the teacher. I was just kind of the facilitator. So I was creating a space for these teachings to kind of come forward, because we're having community members, we're having youth, we're having elders, we're having all different people from the community engage in these activities. And really, it's just that creation of space, and that will just kind of come forward, right? The teachings from the elders to the youth, and just around traditional foods, we had the Medicine of the Trees workshop. We worked with Joyce LeCompte Matzenbrook, who works a lot with Elise and Val, and they do a lot of plant-based teachings, and we created medicines. We made lotion bars and healing salves and lip gloss, and we created these as gifts. And a lady came up to me afterwards and she said, this is what, you know, what we would be doing traditionally, right? This is a Friday night, you know, all the women together just creating things and for gifts for the community, and just chatting and having fun and having snacks. And that really hit home for me, to where it wasn't necessarily about what we were doing or the specific outcome for this activity or the evaluation piece for our grant. You know, it was just a matter of creating space for a community to come together. And those teachings just really happened. It was just a lot of different conversations came up about, well, what are these, you know, materials in this medicine, or how do we harvest this medicine, or how do I know when to get this? And that natural curiosity comes out when you create that space for these activities. And the curriculum that we're developing is based on Flemish, but it's really adaptable. So, you know, Quinault can take it and use their specific teachings, or any other tribe that's more inland, that's not marine-based, can use this kind of curriculum to adapt to a seasonality living, right? Because that's traditionally what it was, is of learning from the environment and learning from your kind of surroundings, and you're kind of at their mercy, right? So trying to harvest things at certain times of years and being able to adapt to that. And then there's a whole greater lesson about climate change, right? How these things are really, really changing based on the industrialization of our food system. And so it's a matter of teaching about, well, traditionally this is when it was available, but now it's different. And why is that? And how can we kind of combat that as a community and not just on their own individual level? And so that curriculum will be out the end of the summer. And I will definitely keep that in the loop with Nora, and so she can kind of get it out to everybody. But yeah, I think the Indigenous Peoples Day would be really cool. It's just to create an event to where these teachings happen, right? Just that creation of space is where kind of change will kind of ensue. But I really appreciate the Weave kind of network, because I have an intern this year, and she's working on making healthier options for the store. There's only one store on the reservation. It's a little gas station. And so she's been working quite a bit to try and look at other programs that have done that. And so she, you know, I've directed her to Nora several times. So, you know, we'll ask Nora, you know, there's other tribes that are doing those types of programs, especially utilizing Weave funds to do so. And I really appreciate that, just that network of, you know, what worked for the tribe and what didn't, and what would you have done better or different to make your program more successful. And so I think that this would be a good platform for that, to be able to have a, you know, pros and cons and what works and what doesn't kind of thing to emphasize programs that are being done, and then creating a celebration around those to come together and kind of share them. So.
I really like that. Thank you, Sunny, so much. And I'm really excited for the curriculum and all the great things that you're doing. I did enjoy talking to your intern. I think I connected her with Roberta, actually, and Sheila out in Quinault on their Healthy Market Initiative. And so I agree. This is like you provide the space and this amazing things will come, right? So I'm on board with that as well. I think this could be a really great place. We can do more calls if you would like, rather than just quarterly. But since we're just getting started, I'm just slowly gathering inputs, seeing who is committed to seeing this through. And also in October, so October 11th and 12th, we're having our Weave gathering, and I'll send out the flyer so you can see it. But the gathering is all around traditional foods, tribal food sovereignty, policy, and how you use policy to support those initiatives around food access and traditional foods, and bringing it back to the community in that way. So that is being held in Suquamish at the Kiana Lodge. And so it's 2 days. Elise and Valerie are kind of spearheading the workshops and the breakout sessions. And I have a draft agenda. So I can send everybody, if you haven't received it already, most of you should have. Some of you may not have yet. But I can send you the registration flyer and the draft agenda, so you can see what's going to happen there. And then we will also talk about the coalition while we're at the gathering. So let me know if you have more questions surrounding that. That would also be a good space just to have maybe like a informal first traditional food sovereignty, tribal food sovereignty coalition meeting or something, you know, just like a touch base, basically. Yeah. Any other thoughts or comments or questions? Well, if there are no other additional comments, is everybody okay with me sending like documents and contacting you through the emails that I currently have? If not, let me know. But I think within the next week, I would like to send out a survey to everybody. Hold on one second. I'm reading something that Roberta wrote. One of the things that works for our program is sponsoring a monthly food demo that showcases the use of traditional plants. I like that. Yes. I love food demonstrations. Like one of my favorite taste testing. but I would like to send out a survey within the next week or two, just kind of figuring out best way to move forward as far as how often we want to meet. Best way to contact you all, best way to share documents,
And then maybe have a few questions on there about what your priorities are around traditional food or tribal food sovereignty or anything in this area. Any other questions, comments?
This is Lana, and I'd just like to say that I really appreciate this morning. I know that two other members would have been here, but they're on the canoe journey.
Yeah.
So I please add Lisa Burrell and Elaine Grinnell. And Elaine does not have an email, but I get all the information to her, just so you know that. So I know that they will be involved in the future, and really sorry that they weren't here.
Yeah, quite a few people, actually. So thank you for letting me know. Yeah, a lot of people are on a canoe journey, so it was bad timing on my part. But all of July ran away from me, and all of August is also booked up. So it's just been crazy summer. But thank you for being on the group. I appreciate that. Roberta's asking, when will the grant reapplications be available for next fiscal year? Great question. I will let Nanette answer that. Oh, it's about the RFA for new funding.
The grants, our RFA will actually be released by the end of this week, so in the next few days, by Friday mm-hmm. evening, we will release it and send it all out, all your emails on it. Just to let you know, though, the RFA specifically is for chronic disease prevention, so diabetes, obesity, so it needs to have that focus, and it's population focused, so not health education pieces, where this coalition can have curriculum and health education. We're actually focused on policies, environment changes, and it will be really clear within the grant, but I just wanted to make clear, like, this coalition definitely can be a lot more broad than, as Nora was saying, CDC did give us a bit of a narrow focus. We get oftentimes to help expand a wonderful idea that you might have that you might not think is a policy systems or environment approach. We're pretty good at doing that at this point. So any suggestions or phone conversations regarding the RFA, once you receive it, we're happy to talk with you about how we can help support your work. And there's also access to other grants here at the board that might even be a benefit if there's some point in time funding that you're looking at.
Yep. So just let us know. All right. Well, I did record most of this call. I started recording mid-introduction because I forgot to hit record. But I did record most of the conversation, and I will send it out to everybody who showed interest but was unable to be on this call today, just so that they're in the loop. We'll get some meeting minutes, the notes sent out as well, people in the loop. And keep an eye out for that survey within the next week or two. But thank you so much for being involved, and I'm really looking forward to what's going to come of this. I think that event, that celebration, is probably something we should work on and get started. So thank you, guys.
Thank you for putting this together.
No problem.
Yeah, thank you. That's it, then I'm going to get off the phone.